Doc Severinsen from a few years ago on The Tonight Show when it was with Steve Allen. Doc Severinsen is in Milwaukee this week. He's going to be leading Holiday Pops with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and it's our pleasure to have him in our Milwaukee studios this morning. Doc the Halls, Merry Doc Holiday is the name of the concert, November 30th and December 1st through the 2nd at the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts. He'll be joined by the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus and the Handbell Ensemble. He is a really interesting... Let me read you a little bit of his bio. He learned to play cornet in his school band in the 600-person town of Arlington, Oregon. Actually, I read that he was 7 years old when he was really pretty good on the trumpet and was asked to play with the high school band when he was seven, and that worked out all right. He's performed with jazz and big bands all over the country. He, of course, was on the Johnny Carson's Tonight Show, although he played with the Tonight Show band before he joined Johnny Carson's Tonight Show. He was music director 5 years later. He was a sidekick with Johnny Carson and provided really a platform for musicians of all genres, from Cher to Pavarotti, to share their music with TV audiences. After that show, after 30 years, went off the air, he continued to perform. He has held positions with the Buffalo Philharmonic, Minnesota Orchestra, Phoenix Symphony, of course, the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and he is with us in our studio this morning. Doc, it's a great pleasure to see you.
Thank you. Nice to be here, and to be here with my friend.
Yes, Mark Niehaus is also with us, and Mark has been with us before, right before the symphony went to Carnegie Hall, and we just thought he was terrific, and he... There we go with the microphone. I'm sorry. He is now has a new position. He is the president of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, principal trumpeter for a number of years, and he has not given up his trumpet. He's going to be playing in a concert, I believe, Shostakovich's Concerto No. 1, February 8 and 9. Mark, always a pleasure to see you. Congratulations on your new position.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be back here with you.
Yeah, you'll be perfect in this position, as long as you keep playing, because you're also wonderful.
I do. I'm going to play a little bit. Doc has proven that when you retire from the trumpet, you don't actually stop playing the trumpet.
Yeah.
No, you don't. No, you retire from the trumpet when the trumpet decides it's time for you to retire.
And that may be never. You've been playing for a long time, sir, haven't you?
Yeah. And I'm having more enjoyment with the trumpet now, I think, than I ever have before.
Why?
Well, I'm more willing to experiment and to look for why does this happen the way it does? Why couldn't I make that better? And, you know, all just physical attributes of playing.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the instrument. Both of you chose the trumpet or somebody made you play the trumpet. Mark, what about you? Did you choose that instrument?
All right, what I'm about to say right now is absolutely the truth, just so you know.
Thank you.
I play the trumpet because of Doc Severinsen.
No, do you
My
really?
Parents watch The Tonight Show religiously.
Oh.
And I, when, you know, you go to the band room in the third grade, and they say, what instrument do you want to play? And I wanted to play the instrument like that funny guy on TV. So, and I've said this to you before, but it really is the truth. So I think I mostly wanted to be funny. More than I actually wanted to be a trumpet player. I wanted people to laugh at my jokes. So I figured if I had a trumpet, I might have a little bit of a better shot.
But on the other hand, if they laugh at your trumpet playing, then you got a problem.
Well, that's quite an honor, isn't it, what he just said, Doc?
Well, you know, that goes back to The Tonight Show. I had no idea when I started to do that show with Steve Allen, long before Johnny Carson, and then all the ensuing years, how much it would affect my life and the lives of others, like this case here. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't really have anything to do with that. You know, I just went in and did my job, and it was the nature of the beast in those days. Kids would see something I cut on television, and I want to do that.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
And it's the story has repeated itself many times, and I always say, don't blame me for your troubles.
Was it your parents who wanted you to play the violin? Did you ever play the violin?
My dad did. My dad was a good hobby violinist, came from Europe, and everybody in the family played a string instrument. And so here I lived in a town full of cowboys, and I'm serious about that, real Indians and real cowboys. And we had cattle drives right down the main street. If you didn't close your living room door, you could have three or four heifers in there. So, anyway, my dad wanted something that he and I could do together. And he thought the violin would be perfect because he knew how to play it. So he shows up one day with a little junior-sized violin, a three-quarter violin, hands it to me, says, "You're going to play the violin." I said, "I don't want to play the violin." He says, "Well, you have to. I bought it." And in those days, that was pretty much the end of that. But he said, "Well, it's time to start the lesson." I said, "No, I don't want to play the violin. I don't want to play the violin." He said, "Well, I'll tell you what you can do then." I was 7 years old and very small for my age. They still had my high chair in the kitchen. And he said, "You can sit up in that high chair for 1 hour." So I got up in the high chair and I sat there for an hour. And at the end of an hour, he said, "Okay, the lesson is over." The next day, the same thing. The next day, the same thing. And finally, in exasperation, after about a week, he says, "Well, what do you want to play?" And I'm thinking, why didn't he ask me that a week ago? I said, "I want to play a trombone." And he says, "Well, I don't think there's a trombone available. But, you know, we're in the middle of nowhere. And you couldn't even find a harmonica. Although if you had, I might have gone for it." So my best friend's father had played in the Army band during the First World War. And my dad had a memory of that. He said, "You know, I think Herb Clark's got an old trumpet he's not using. Let's go down to the garage and ask him." Herb was a mechanic down there. Herb said, "Yeah, I got it, but I don't ever play it." My dad says, "Well, my son would like to try it." So Herb said, "Well, come on back tomorrow, and I'll have her ready for you." It was all shined up, gold-plated, engraved, a Busher number 9.
Excellent.
Pea shooter. And he hands it to me, and when he opened the lid to the case and that old musty smell of a well-used case came at me, I thought, "Oh, this is great." Mm. And I had been fooling around trying to just play on anything for years. I played an army bugle with no mouthpiece. Mm. And I'm not even Jewish. But the trumpet it was, and I made my first appearance playing for the Ladies' Aid at the Methodist Church a week later. Yeah. And so...
Do you remember the program?
Huh?
Do you remember the program?
Yes. I played the Daring Young Man on the Flying Trapeze, and my dad, being very confident of my abilities, wrote out the melody to "Good Night, Ladies." So that'll be your encore. I know what an encore was. And there you have it.
There was the beginning. So you really were a prodigy. I mean, this gift came from somewhere, huh? Not from hard work. If you were playing hard work, but a week. It takes years to become really good on an instrument for most people.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, don't let him fool you. Doc practices more than anybody. When he shows up for a concert, he gets there 2 hours beforehand.
Does he?
He's practicing scales and arpeggios and lip slurs and buzzing and trying out new mouthpieces. I think he practices more in a week than I did in a year.
Mm. Oh, that's interesting.
Well, but on the other hand, the kind of playing I do is different. You know, if you practice that much, you'd be so tied up in knots. You'd have so much strength in your embouchure that they'd have to give you every known kind of sedative to play.
It's true. What we did was different.
Yeah. You know, I'm terribly excited about Mark assuming the position of executive director.
What makes you excited about that? He's a great guy. He's enormously talented, isn't
well,
he?
Well, first
in many
of all,
areas.
You know, he never should have played trumpet in the first place because he's too bright. I once asked a famous cornet player about how do you get so good on a trumpet? This guy played cornet. He was a cornet soloist. And he said, well, you got to be stupid. And, you know, let's face it, to take a piece of metal and jam it up on your face and do that repeatedly every day for the rest of your life, I mean, this is not a real smart person there.
And there is an amount of fearlessness you have to have as well. Everyone hears every mistake you make when you play the trumpet.
Isn't that true?
And you can't hide, and you have to kind of not care a little bit about what other people think, and just have a big ego and go out there and say, I got it, check it out, here I am, I'm the man, and you put it back in the case, and you go home, and you don't worry about it.
And he just described what it requires to be an executive director of a symphony orchestra.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, a little bit of humor goes a long way, too. Let's talk about humor for a moment, because you're also very well known for being a very funny guy, and I was looking at some old YouTube clips yesterday of you on the Johnny Carson Show. When was the moment that they allowed you to sit in that chair and be a sidekick so that you could also, they knew you could play the trumpet, but when did people realize you were you're pretty funny, Doc?
Well, I don't really know.
You don't?
No. I didn't think they were hiring me for any humorous aspects. The band, due to some different things that occurred, really needed new leadership. And I played concerts with Johnny. I would put together a band and go out and we'd do concerts. We'd attend them here, you know, in large venues, 15,000 seaters and that kind of thing. And I'll never forget, we were in Baltimore playing a huge, big place. And the guy who was the producer of the show at that time, Stan Irwin, came to me and said, hey, you know, Johnny isn't happy with the way things are going on the show, as far as the band goes. And would you be interested in taking it over? And I said, yeah. So Johnny explained to me, said, well, your contract isn't with me, it's with NBC. You have to go in and negotiate the best you can get, and that's that. And he said, we'll try it for a while, see how it goes. And it turned out to go on for a long time.
30 years.
And I didn't realize it at that moment, but you know, along with playing first trumpet in the band, Skitch Henderson, who was the band leader, and Johnny and other people would, if they could see you had a spark of something to offer that they could use, they'd bring it out of you. And so Johnny found that I was someone he could relate to. And so he decided, well, I'm going to give him a shot here and see if this works. And I guess it did.
Yes, it did. And that must be, and what you said is really key in terms of teaching and in terms of probably what your new job is, Mark, too, is to find that spark in somebody and bring it out. I mean, that's a very important thing to do, and it's an important thing to do for another human being, isn't it? To have somebody recognize that in you?
I think it takes a tremendous amount of self-confidence to allow other people to shine around you. And Johnny Carson and Doc are similar in that way, I think, that they enjoyed other people's successes. I mean, especially Johnny Carson. I mean, he would bring people on his show and literally showcase them and literally launch their careers. And it seemed, at least to me, watching, somewhat selfless. Mm-hmm. You know, come to my home, let me showcase you on my show, and let me launch your career. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways, as much as Doc is in the spotlight, as a musician with the, you'll find this more in rehearsal. He is part of, he doesn't put himself above the other musicians in any way. You'll have a guest artist come and play with the orchestra sometimes, and you can tell that person thinks they're maybe a little bit better than we are, or maybe they're in a different category and they need to be coddled and treated a certain way. You know, I picked Doc up today in my, you know, Nissan Pathfinder with 140,000 miles on it, and I knew Doc would be fine riding. You know, there's other people I would think, you know, maybe I should get my wife's car today.
Great answer. That's great.
Well, you know, apropos of what you're saying, I have a young lady. I don't know if you know this, but I've got a girl vocalist for the show.
Vanessa, right?
Vanessa,
yes.
Thomas.
Yeah.
For this weekend's show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I found her in a town of 3,000, slightly less than 3,000 people in western Kansas. I was acquainted with the band director who had created a history of an incredible high school band. And she's African American and was the only African American in this town of Clay Center, Kansas. And we went there. I was invited. I had become like a part of the family of the Snodgrass family, who Wayne was the band director, and his son took over after him, CL. And she was part of the band. She played baritone horn, she played cello in the orchestra, and she sang and was, you know, quite the star in Clay Center. And we went to do a benefit there for Wayne's widow. And her survivor, you know, she, whatever you call it. And I was backstage warming up as usual, and I hear an operatic voice. And I thought, wow, now that's really hip. They're testing the sound system, and they're using a recording of an opera singer. She is an opera singer. And I thought, no, that's live. And I go around the back of the place where we're going to do the concert, and I'm standing in the back, and there's this statuesque African-American woman standing up on stage, and I slowly made my way down the aisle. And I said, excuse me, I'm going to be doing a Christmas show, and it was in Minnesota. And I said, do you know any Christmas tunes? And she turns to her accompanist and says, let's do the Mozart Alleluia.
From the Exultate Jubilate.
Oh, Mark, good for you.
And I'm thinking, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, dee 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 doo 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 doo. That one?
Yep. And she sang it from top to bottom.
Oh, my.
About as good as you could want it. And I had the nerve. I said, okay, now, do you know any pop tunes? She says, yeah. Well, she sang with the school jazz band a little later. And she's just as good at that as she is at opera. And so I took her with me to Minnesota to do the Christmas show. She comes out, and she's going to do the same tune here. I won't tell you what the tune is.
Okay.
And when she finished, you know, I was really very apprehensive. I didn't know how she was going to do. I knew what I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a momentary silence, and I thought, oh, what have I done? And then that audience, as one, jumped to their feet and let out a yell. And I thought, wow, oh, I was right.
You were right. Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
We've been working together ever since then.
Oh.
And, you know, to have anybody get up, or if you're out, if I'm on the road with the band, if I've got, I always have two or three of the trumpet players come out and we play solos together for the audience.
Yep.
Because if they do well, it makes me look good.
Yeah.
It's self-serving in a way, but also it isn't easy to get a break sometimes. And if you can just give somebody a hand up,
mm-hmm.
It'll make you feel better than you felt in ages.
Let's welcome phone calls for both of you. We'll take them in just one moment. Doc Severinsen is joining us in our studios in Milwaukee. He is leading the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra with special guests. As you just heard him talk about, he is doing Doc the Hall's Merry Doc Holiday. It's November 30th, December 1st, 2nd at the Marcus Center for the Performing Arts, joined not only by the Symphony, also the Symphony Chorus and the Milwaukee Handbell Ensemble. Also joining us in our studios is Mark Niehaus. He is the new president and executive director of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. He hasn't given up the trumpet. He is still going to play. You can hear him again in February, but I'm sure he plays the trumpet all the time, so go to his house. He studied at Juilliard and joined the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra as principal trumpeter in 1998. They saw that he could be administrator perhaps when he introduced the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra at Carnegie Hall. He introduced everybody to the national audience. Here's our phone number. If you'd like to join us, we'd love to hear from you. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655 is the number. Our email, if you'd like to use that, is talk@wpr.org. Or you can leave messages for us on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
I have said the following so many times over the years, but I mean every word of it. I've never had such a great kick of working with the best musicians in the world that Doc has in the Tonight Show band. And we're going to let them do their own thing tonight. So here is the greatest trumpeter in the world and our orchestra. Doc.
Doc Severinsen on The Tonight Show. It must be something to have Johnny Carson call you the greatest trumpeter in the world. What a nice thing to say.
Yeah, even if it isn't true.
May very well be true. Very well be true. Let's go to some phone calls.
There is no such thing.
All right. There isn't?
Forget it. No.
All right.
There's a lot of very accomplished trumpet players. Now and then, this guy or that guy will have a good day.
Yeah.
That's about it.
800-486-8655, our number, Dave in Augusta. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Kathleen. Hello, Doc.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I tell you what, it's a real pleasure listening to you on Wisconsin Public Radio. Appreciate you coming on the air with the whole state of Wisconsin. First off, I want to thank you for being a part of my growing up as far as sneaking downstairs after 10:30 at night and watching the three of you provide entertainment to the entire country for many, many years. I want to thank you for that. Also, my wife and I were at the Tonight Show taping on March 16th, 1983, and we played a game with Johnny called Stunt the Band.
Oh, yeah.
And we had a song called Up and Down in My Little Red Wagon. And we stumped you guys. You guys didn't know what it was. But it was a great start to a two-week stay in Hollywood. And, again, I want to thank you for your years of providing entertainment. Thank you, Doc.
It was my pleasure. And, by the way, don't give yourself too much credit for having a tune that stumped us. They all stumped us.
For people who are not familiar with that was something that you enjoyed too, Mark. Why don't you describe what Stump the Band was?
stump the band. If now, remember, I'm remembering back to when I was probably in elementary school here. Not to date anybody in the room. It seemed to me it was a sort of maybe a time killer on the show where Johnny would go out of the audience and he would pick somebody and ask them to come up with the name of a song. And I remember Doc, and you'd usually sit next to Tommy Newsom. You guys would be up on stools up front with handheld microphones. And someone in the audience would say the name of some ridiculous song, like, you know, Betsy in the Back Room or something. Oh, wait, never mind. And you guys would sit there and you'd turn around, you'd look at the band and everybody'd shrug their shoulders and they'd have no idea. Well, what do you think? And that, and then somebody would scream from the back of the band, "Hey, wait, I know that one."
Right.
And of course, no one did. And then there'd be this ensuing kind of very up-tempo, like ricky-ticky kind of ragtime sounding. And then you would start to sing some words and then you'd have to catch yourself because you probably were going somewhere you shouldn't go on national television.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's sometimes we went places we weren't supposed to go. But right. The only people who knew it was us. And then occasionally a network executive would tumble, "Hey, don't you guys all know what they're doing?" And they'd come to us and read us out and say, "You can't do that."
Yeah.
Is that a hard thing to do? I don't know how you do that. If somebody gives you a song and you're making something up spontaneously, is that hard to do?
No.
No.
I mean, you just make up anything. Although, some pretty interesting things would come out every now and then.
Thanks so much, Dave, for the call. Here's Linda on Facebook says, "I remember, and I wish that..." Actually, we're going to put the picture on Facebook because Doc is dressed for the occasion today. Doc looks very sharp today. And Linda writes, "I remember Doc's clothes and his vibrant tastes seem tame now, but back then they were wild."
Well, I still expect to have something on every now and then that will cause the women in the audience to gasp. There's a lot of gasping going on out there.
So that will be true this weekend. You'll be wearing something that will make people gasp.
Something appropriate for the holidays, yes. Sure. I don't know what.
You know, I'll tell you, the thing that some people don't realize is, and I know this from carrying Doc's jacket at one point, rhinestones are heavy.
Ah.
And it was almost like you're wearing a flak jacket or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, walking, you know, you're working hard all night playing the trumpet and you're wearing at least 6 pounds of stones on your
jacket. That particular jacket you're talking about weighed 40 pounds.
Wow.
And I used to ask us, "Do you really want to get a laugh this much?"
And then once you start doing that, you always have to. People will expect you to be
dressed, right? I tried getting away with it. But it, you know, to stop doing that, maybe it's a little more appropriate if I stop doing that. And people let me know. No.
I'm sure.
As long as you're having fun with it and don't take yourself seriously.
Yeah. Well, the reason you can get away with that is because he plays so well.
Right.
If the artistic product was less, it would seem false.
Right.
But it's always about the music with Doc. That's just an extra thing, fun thing on the side. It's not really about that.
Yeah.
And that's and that type of validity and truth in what he does makes that possible.
And I guess that we realize that that's true. I have read, is this true, Doc, that after you did 30 years on The Tonight Show, the show ended, and you were on the road the next week?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's true.
That's
the music.
That's when I first met you, in Keystone, Colorado.
How did you meet?
It was the Colorado Music Festival.
Oh.
Actually, no, it was called the National Repertory Orchestra with Carl Topolo.
Right.
And you came up with the band, and it was in Keystone, Colorado, which I think is about 9,000 feet. It's a ski resort. And you brought the whole band up there. And you guys...
I got news for you, man. They were already up there.
Yes, well, that's where I'm going with
this. They came down from 13,000 feet just to do the show.
That's exactly where I'm going. Because you guys all were having altitude sickness. And so there were these oxygen bottles around with masks.
Oh, my goodness.
And there was this whole joke going on that it wasn't oxygen. That who knows what was in those bottles?
Oh. Let's go to Tim in Williams Bay. Hi, Tim.
Hi, good morning. Before I say anything else, I speak for millions. Oh, we miss you, we miss you, we miss you, and the guys in the band.
Well, come and see him this weekend with the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra.
Well, I think we'll do that.
Good.
I don't know if you remember me or not, Doc, but when you came to Whitewater at the Irving Young Auditorium, I made you two trumpets out of balloons.
I don't recall that, and it seems that I would. I still have the balloons, though.
Couple of questions. Number one, is it true, rumor has it, that Johnny Carson would never sign his contract unless you and the band were a part of it? Otherwise, he would walk away from the execs of NBC. Number two, did you pattern any of your clothing after Spike Jones? And number three, will you ever, or will Jeff Sosek ever put out a set of the greatest jazz giants that ever appeared on 30 years of The Tonight Show? Hmm.
Okay. What was the first question?
Do you still have the balloons?
the contract, that Johnny wouldn't sign a contract.
Oh, that was not true. But the musicians had to go on strike at one point. And Johnny just got sick of it. And he thought, you know, they're not asking for that much. But NBC was, you know, playing hardball. So I'll never forget, I think it was on a Friday night, we got the word that Johnny had said to the network, if Doc and the guys aren't back on the show Monday night, I won't be here either, and I won't be here till they do get back.
Ooh.
And we were all back.
Oh. Huh.
And question number two.
Clothing, Spike Jones?
I'm not inspired from Spike Jones about my clothing, but I was by my music. And if you heard Spike Jones, you know there was a joke in there somewhere. Lurking around, waiting to get out.
Jazz Greats, an album of all the Jazz Greats on the Tonight Show.
Yeah, Jeff Sotzing and I have talked about musical guests. It was his idea that were on the show, that some of them were humorous, some of them were very serious, all different kinds of things. It would make a sensational program. And we had it in mind for public television, PBS. But I don't know what's come of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You should revive that idea. Excellent idea.
Well, if anybody at PBS is listening, we got something that you would not believe.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I mean, you know, things that just happened on the spur of the moment that were, you know, you couldn't dream it up or you couldn't reproduce it.
But that'd
again.
Be a great show, Doc.
We have clips like that. And and then I think we have a clip of Yo-Yo Ma when he was a guest for the first time on The Tonight Show, and he was 7 years old.
Oh, the same age you were when you were in your high school band playing the trumpet.
Seven's the lucky number.
I guess it is. Oh, that'd be a fabulous show to watch, wouldn't it, Mark?
Definitely.
Wow, we need to get.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call Jeff and see what's going on with that.
Okay, can we talk just a little bit about, because I watched the Uecker Hall of Fame, and I know that you played, and it was wonderful to have you playing while all these people were talking about Uecker. He was another person, I think, that Johnny Carson gave a national platform and gave him a national career because he thought he was a very funny guy, and you must be pretty good friends with Uke.
Yeah, I am, and he was on the show enough times that he was like one of the family, you know. And it's like a relative coming home to visit that you wanted to see for a while. Hey, guess who's here? Euchre. And we would have a party after the show that would go on for days. And he is a prime example of the the kind of guest that Johnny liked to have because he was real.
Yes.
I mean, this is not a guy named Bob Uecker who's worked out this gimmick or this personality. That's Uecker.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Mm-hmm. And, boy, he never let us down one time.
He is very genuine. And what a talent it is to be that funny doing inning after inning after inning. How many games a year of baseball? It's just... You have to be genuine, I think, to have lasted that long and to be that good at it. Yeah. Well, at any rate, it was great that you were a part of that celebration. That was a nice touch.
Well, I was glad to be there. You know, when they asked me, I said, absolutely.
Good. Let's go to David in Rock Springs. Hello, David.
Hi there, Doc. Hi, Kathleen. It's really nice to hear your voice, Doc. I was inspired to continue wearing bell bottoms back in 1969 and 70 by you. And you came to our little town in western Iowa and played at our high school jazz band.
Aww.
Like 2 different years. And
what town was that?
I don't know if you remember this guy, but a guy named Gary Sklecki came on to the Tonight Show.
That would have been Otebolt, Iowa.
Oh, yeah, Doc, right? That's good.
I'm glad you remember that. And
I sure do.
Do you remember Gary Sklecki, the band?
Oh, yeah.
Band leader?
We've remained friends over the years.
I'm sure you do. I hear he's down in Texas playing. He's done a lot of recordings over the years, but we were blessed to have him at our high school, and he was just an incredible teacher. We had him for I think after I left high school, he moved on to Morningside College and other places after that.
My memory of Otebolt, Iowa, is that along with Gary, you had a woman who was advanced middle age, a wonderful, wonderful woman and a fabulous musician. She took care of the kids in grade school and junior high school. She trained the kids before they got to Gary. And between the two of them, here's this town, well, I don't know, it's probably 1,500 people or something. The school sits out in the middle of a cornfield. And you go there, and these kids are playing way above what you might have expected. Mm. And it was just a great experience. Mm.
And I know that you do, which you should be applauded for. My son went to Rufus King High School in Milwaukee, and I know that he was in the jazz band, and that you came and worked with those students, which is just a nice thing. That's just part of who you are, and that's a good thing.
Well, it's a part of who I are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thanks, David, very much for your call. Mike in Rice Lake. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
All right, Mike, how are you?
Good. A couple of things, Doc. Thank you for all your years of entertainment, just like the previous caller had said. Nobody even comes close to a late show when you guys perform. But I wanted to tell you about my daughter. Her name was Janique. We used to lay on the floor and watch her show every night. She was like a year and a half, so we'd snuggle on the floor. And the first words out of her mouth, the first words she's ever said besides Mom or Dad, was, "Here's Johnny," when your band started. So we always wanted to tell Johnny that, but we never got an opportunity, and this was an opportunity to do that, and I thought that was pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
You know, I used to come back from some of those trips out where I'd go out into the Midwest and play with the high school band, and constantly traveling. The reaction of the people, like, in Otebolt, I go back and I tell Johnny, I said, I was in this place and this woman came up and she said, and he looked at me like, how about that? I mean, wow. He just, I don't know if he couldn't let it in or if he didn't want to, but any of the personal indications of what he really was, you know,
mm-hmm.
one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
Never anybody like him before he came along, and there never will be again,
mm-hmm.
as we've witnessed for many years now.
Right. He was.
And yet, the people I have are great. And the better they are, the more they're willing to admit that, yep, Johnny was the man.
Mm. Well, it may be that, as you've, the little that we've heard about the trips that you've taken and the people you've interacted with, and there must be all kinds of stories, thousands of stories like that, that you brought that back to that show, and that because of the way that he grew up, and there was an element of that in that of all of that in him as well, which is what we were talking about earlier, genuine, somebody who's genuine. And people know that. People, for the most part, know when you're genuine.
Yes, and I think that's one of the things that worked on the Tonight Show. Johnny was what he was, a very bright, high-class person, and the best in the world at what he did. And he had Ed and myself there, and I think we were authentic. You know, we weren't trying to do what somebody else had done. We had nothing to go by. We just got up and did it again.
Yeah, but you were also enormously talented in that, so it was good to watch you.
You know, you can have a lot of talent, and if you don't get some pretty good breaks, it's all for naught.
Doc Severinsen is our guest, and we need to talk a little bit about the concert that's coming up, which we will do in just one moment. Mark Niehaus is also with us. Mark also plays trumpet. He is one of his big jobs for today is escorting Doc to various places. But Mark is the president and executive director of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, and he is pretty new at that particular job. He was joined the MSO as principal trumpeter in 1998. And he's with us in our studio as well. So we'll tell you about the concert in just a moment. And we have time for a couple more phone calls if you'd like to join the conversation, or you can send us one of those emails. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Doc Severinsen. And he will be leading the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra in a concert we have yet to talk about. Mark, what are they playing this weekend?
Well, I don't think we're playing Sleigh Ride as a trumpet solo.
No, we're not. I don't know where you got that from.
With chorus. Did you hear there were actually singers?
Brett got
you had oohs and ahs of the chorus?
I have no idea what that was.
That's like the greatest thing ever.
Well, Brett will tell you. Brett found it somewhere. I don't know. Brett will write
it might
down.
Have, was that you maybe one of your recordings of Cincinnati Symphony? You did several of those.
No, I don't recall that.
We have stumped the band.
No, that was Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride, trumpet solo with a chorus and an orchestra.
You know, that could have been at Oral Roberts University.
That might have been it.
I did a Christmas show down there.
Oh, my.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Got settled in my quarters with my wife of that time, and there's a knock on the door. And I open the door, and there stands Earl Roberts and his wife. We were just out for a walk. We thought we'd drop by and say hello. And he was quite a guy.
I imagine.
Wow.
All right. So what's the concert this weekend?
The concert is Doc and the Milwaukee Symphony and the Milwaukee Symphony Chorus. We have a handbell choir going to be there as well. The concerts are Friday night and Saturday afternoon as well. And Saturday night. There's two concerts on Saturday, and there's a lot of tickets for this. Not a lot. There's more tickets for the Saturday afternoon. I think Friday and Saturday are probably going to sell out in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still maybe a few, and also a Sunday afternoon concert. And the number at our office is 414-291-7605. That's the box office for tickets. You can also go to mso.org and get tickets online. But it's seasonal favorites. It's Doc's Christmas. It's Jingle Bells. It's help me out here.
What else are you playing, Doc?
Well, I got a list here.
I mean, I know. Are you doing the Old Holy Night, the one that's in 6-8 that goes on forever?
No, I'm saving that for next year.
You know, every time we did that, I would always, in the back of the orchestra, try to sing like I was Cher. Because, you know, remember her Oh Holy Night that she did?
No.
No, I don't remember it.
I won't do it now because people would turn off their radios immediately. But I would, when we would do that, I would always have to sing Oh Holy Night. I can't do it. I can't.
It's okay. You know, this gives credibility to the fact that when I retired from the orchestra, I was given the appellation of Pops Director Emeritus of the Milwaukee Symphony. Mm-hmm. And this is the first chance I've really had to show that.
Oh.
And it took getting you back here to make it happen.
We pushed. Oh. It's when the people on the stage are having fun, you know it's going to be a good concert.
Right.
If everybody on stage is smiling right. and enjoying the week and looking forward to the week, you know the audience is going to go home smiling from the concert and feeling like they went to something good.
No, I'm
good.
Sure that's
and that,
true.
And that always happens with Doc. It's yeah. always a great week.
Let's go to Burl from Cassville. Hi, Burl.
Hi. I'm calling to recall a concert. First of all, let me say I'm recently retired from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and I have a vacation home here in Wisconsin. Doc came to see Chicago Symphony to participate in a concert honoring Bud Herseth, principal trumpeter of the Chicago Symphony, on the occasion of Bud's 50th anniversary as principal trumpeter of the Chicago Symphony.
Mm.
I'm sure Doc has vivid memories of that, as do many of us.
I do have.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great show, Doc, and it just goes to along with the knowledge that most of us have of your willingness to participate in so many different forms of music. And I know that Bud holds Doc in very high esteem, and I'm sure that's mutual.
Well, when you're talking about Bud Herseth, he is the only trumpet player. All you have to say to any other trumpet player in the world is Bud. They know who you're talking about.
Is that right?
That's
true.
All there is to that. He was the number one.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. That's something for which there is no challenge to that.
He was principal trumpet in the Chicago Symphony for, I think, like 55 years.
Yeah.
His recordings with Solti and Barenboim, his Mahler's Fifth Symphony with Solti was just off the
chart. Entire Mahler series,
all of it. I mean, and he was maybe one of the first orchestral musicians to really be known as an individual almost as well as their orchestra was known. Actually, Musical America named him Musician of the Year one year, which almost always went to a conductor or some famous opera star. But to pick out a trumpet player from an orchestra and make him the Musician of the Year is pretty amazing. And he was, you're right, it's one name recognition. He's just Bud. Everybody knew him.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm glad you were listening, Burl. One more very quick phone call. We're almost out of time, everybody. Bob in Dodgeville. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you?
All right, how are you?
I wanted to quickly say something about how genuine Doc Severinsen really is as a person. 44 years ago, I was in Jamaica with a group from college, and Doc was there coming out of a store with his then wife. And I boldly went up and introduced myself, shook his hand, and he was very gracious and spoke with me. And then another guy in our group saw what I was doing, came over, and I said, Doc, I'd like you to meet my friend George. And Doc, and this has stuck with me 44 years, said, George, any friend of Bob's is a friend of mine. I'm glad to meet you.
That's a great story. We have to say goodbye on that. I love it. We'll use that. Thank you so much for being with us, Doc. It was an honor, Mark. Great to see you again. Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, for more information, go to our Facebook page because you can see how Doc is dressed today if you would like to do that. The Kathleen Dunn Show will have information there. And you can also...
The number is 291-7605 is our box office.
Great. Thank you both so much for being with us. Doc Severinsen and Mark Niehaus, who is the new president and executive director of the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Brett Jaspers, who produced this program. We'll be with you again tomorrow at 9:00.